You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
Anthony drives one high into center field. Hessing is back at the wall! Gone! Roman Anthony! A two-run homer! 1-1 to Sadon. Driven high and deep. It is way back and gone! Off the National Car Rental sign, Rafaela launches again.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hello, my name is Nick Stevens. Some of you might know me as Fitzy, and I would just like to say that last night, I sweet Caroline.
Oh,
it's an honest confession. I feel like this is a safe space.
Yeah. So I agree.
If there's anywhere that I'm going to admit to it, not just admit to it, but completely own it like I did in the moment amongst 35,000 other revelrous Red Sox fans as they took down the Rays 4-3, their seventh straight.
Hi, my name's Nick Stevens, and I'm a sweet Carolina.
I believe it's the first step to recovery is admitting that you sweet
Carolina.
Exactly.
Right. Hi, my name is Stiz, and I'm going to shut down. I rail against it. I've proposed that the team actually ban it when the team is losing.
It's a good take, by the way.
Here's the question. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to WEEI Afternoons, coming to you from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is, oddly enough, would you believe this, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including the F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. There's usually a sweet one parked right outside the studio.
I don't know what happened there.
But I saw the black curtain was drawn, so I was wondering, was somebody giving birth? Like, was there a procedure taking place?
We are in the strollers section or behind the stroller section at Fenway, so there's something to that.
Perhaps they're going to be rolling in a new vehicle to showcase here down by the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. We'll be with you today, 2 to 6 p.m. Nick Fitzy Stevens in here at the comm today alongside my Mr. Spock, Dan Ball, a.k.a. Danny Ballgame, the Ball Hawk. Andy Hart is off somewhere on a boat drinking like an absolute louse. He was rubbing it in with photographs.
Always.
In our text stream.
I know this will blow your mind. He's drinking a Miller Lite today.
No way. Probably wearing Hey Dude. Right.
That's right. See, he's on his boat. I don't think the Flamingos made it out today, though.
Probably
the Flamingo-y shirt.
No, but
he can only be so happy.
But as he likes to remind us, if the sun is out, the guns are out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jaylen Brown, my favorite player. I'm wearing his jersey. Anyways, we're here at Fenway, so I don't really care what he's doing.
Fenway, it's going to be a fun way today. Ted Johnson tags in at 3 o'clock. We'll do the three-point stance. We'll talk some Red Sox throughout the course of the day, as well as they took the first game from the Tampa Bay Rays last night, 4-3 here at America's most beloved ballpark. At 4 o'clock, you know what that means. It's football o'clock. We'll talk some NFL, some New England Patriots, and more. 5 o'clock, we'll mix everything up, supersize odds and ends. This is going to be a good time on ice, running you right up into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show, conveniently enough, hosted by our own Dan Ball.
How about that? No rest for the wicked.
You guys know how to get in touch with us. No, they're not around this.
I know I'm preaching to the choir when I tell you that. But anyways, there's a phone number that they can call.
Yeah, they can. Or they can use it to text us as well.
Yeah.
It's as simple as 617-779-7937. Your text messages will be monitored, of course, by the likes of our friends Brian Furzoco, who is back running the Twitch stream. And, of course, Stiz Grimy, a.k.a. Stanley Bruno, producer extraordinaire. And, by the way, not a lot of radio shows in town can say that their producer of the show has two names and one very interesting background in hip-hop music.
Let alone a Boston Globe feature done about them on that hip-hop background.
Let alone several horror movies none of us will see that he's had cameos in. Right, Stiz? A couple there. Hey, by the way, who's the production assistant? Who's working alongside you today?
My boy Brendan, B-dubs.
Good old B-dubs.
Who's Brendan? You've seen it. You know,
I'm sure I have. God, I love Brendan. B-R-E-N-D-A-N. Brendan. Oh, what a guy. So Stiz has actually been working up based on a big story that we've had ongoing this week, Dan. You know, I'm sure you've heard about it. Mm-hmm. Everyone listening hasn't heard. Been a little bit of a feud. Been a little bit of an ongoing imbroglio. An online fracas between our podcast Zoom or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Led by the great Will Fleming, the voice of the Boston Red Sox, friend of the show, who joined us in this very studio earlier this week and dropped a bombshell on the baseball world that Rafael Devers blew off Will Clark, the legend of the San Francisco Giants, on a fielding instructional when he first joined the team a few weeks back after he was traded on Father's Day.
Now, he was definitely just telling telling tales out of school and telling a private story that hadn't been broadcasted before,
right? Yeah, absolutely. It definitely
That's
was,
what I was told reading the internet.
Mm-hmm. It definitely was not something that Will Clark said on his podcast called Two Dudes or what is it called?
The Deuces Wild podcast.
The Deuces Wild.
Yeah. The No Filter Network thank us for tagging them in our work from yesterday's show.
God, have they gotten some run out of us this week?
I'm telling you. Yeah.
How many more subs are there on Dudes Wild, Deuces Wild, whatever it is?
They might have doubled their current three subscribers.
From like 6 to 12.
Yeah, exactly.
God. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
That's the WEEI afternoon effect. So anyway, Will Fleming comes on, gives us this information. Of course, it actually comes from a conversation he had with Will Clark, but also was confirmed in a podcast where Will Clark said as much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Will Clark finds out that a whole big, online blank show has blown up over everything. So then he trash talks, he insults, just says all these terrible things about our friend Will Fleming. Well, now you got the East Coast versus the West Coast, and when the East Coast fights the West Coast, what do? You take it to a diss track. So now our guy, Stiz, Stanley Bruno.
Finally.
That's right.
I've been waiting for this.
His first ever WEEI afternoon rap parody will debut on today's show about the Will Fleming versus Will Clark rivalry.
I have been waiting. I've been here for about 8 months now. I have been waiting seven and a half, because it took me a little while to learn who Stiz is and peel back the onion. I'm still doing that, but I've been waiting months to hear the Stiz rap debut on this show.
Let me just say, Dan Ball, prepare to be disappointed.
But also, guys, this isn't, I had to embody our guy, Will Fleming. So this isn't, me necessarily rapping. This is
all right. So you read the dictionary. You read the dictionary overnight. Crushed an online course at Stanford. Grew a foot tall. watched a whole bunch of baseball games, and just became the erudite, scholarly gentleman of America's pastime that he is. Correct, Stan?
That's absolutely right, Nicholas.
Yeah. And now he has a voice like butter. And here comes the 2-1. And I hate Will Clark and everything that he stands for.
Unbelievable! Wow, what a thing.
I know.
Yeah, well, the Deuces Wild podcast is welcome, and you're welcome to join the show. Like I said, it is our text line and our phone line at 617-779-7937 at any time during the show. As we always do, as we be on a Friday, we like to sort of wrap up the week, if you will, with our segment called Who Won the Week. This is our chance to figure out who was the best and the brightest of all Boston sports stars.
It's been hard
coaches,
recently.
Players. It has.
Pause. But yeah, it absolutely has been. I mean, with nobody else playing.
The eye contact on that was a little much.
I thought you'd enjoy it. With the Bruins rebuilding, the Celtics with their injuries, and with the Patriots not doing anything, we've had the Red Sox to choose from. Mm-hmm. And up until about, 2 weeks ago or so, pretty difficult to try to pick somebody who was
considered a winner. Remember a few weeks back, actually, I chose nobody.
Yeah, and I chose Brad Marchand, who doesn't play for a Boston team right now.
No, he doesn't. But he certainly won the week and then some.
That's right.
So this is our chance to name a coach, a player, a trainer, whoever was tops and made the most noise, made the biggest plays in Boston sports this week. So today, Dan and I, in place of Andy, will be giving our winners of the week. Dan, why don't you kick us off today?
I would love to. I'm going with the Roman Empire and a gentleman that has been so good for the Boston Red Sox in such a short amount of time. We celebrated his one-month anniversary here at Fenway Park a couple of days ago, being on the Major League roster. That is the Roman Empire. Roman Anthony. The stats are one thing. He's hitting .414 over his last 7 days, so over the last week.
Wait, louder for everyone in the back. What again?
.414. 15.
Wow.
On pace to break Ted Williams' average record, if you know you extrapolate that out over 162 games.
All he's got to do it over is the next 67 games. By the way, with last night's victory, as we update the tote board here on WEI Afternoons, your Boston Red Sox, in order to achieve the record of 92-70, which was our show-wide, if not organization-wide, prediction for how this season would work out, they need to go 42-25 the remainder of the way. With every dub, it seems a bit more reasonable, a bit more possible.
And I want to pause my soliloquy to have you tell yours, because you were boots on the ground yesterday at Fenway.
Yes, I was.
I was
ass in the seat, boots on the ground, beers in the hand.
I could feel the best way to watch a game, especially the last part. I could feel, even watching the television, that there was a shift in the energy when the Red Sox started to mount their comeback, and maybe a little bit more belief. But what did you feel when you were here yesterday compared to maybe what you saw when you were here in June?
Complete difference.
Yeah.
Night and day. Last night, there was a legitimate, call it buzz, din, a palpable energy. Everybody arrived with an expectation. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody walked in and, you know, there was a 2007 Patriots like, I'll show up. The game's already over, but I'll just show up, you know, fulfill the obligation and enjoy a couple of hot dogs and beers and a tailgate before and after. No. People walked in hopeful, optimistic. And when you're hopeful and you're optimistic, that energy sort of starts to swell and grow. Nobody was, groaning with every strikeout, because Taj Bradley was
fantastic.
Dealing last night.
Yeah.
We'll get it when we recap the game at 2:30. We'll get a little bit more into that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tampa Rays, for making the switch that you did.
That's the Kevin Cash special, by the way.
What the hell was Cash? I'll get into that later.
Yeah. But
it was fun from the get-go, from the first pitch from Jump Street. Sure, you know, there was the ooh and especially, you know, when Junior Caminero hit his home run and it hit the National Rent-A-Car sign as it was ascending.
Yeah.
Like, you don't hit balls much harder than he hit that.
Yeah.
But still, there wasn't a resignation. You didn't see people getting up and leaving. Like, the place was packed all the way till the final strikeout by Chapman. Like, it was, what a joy. That's twice in a week now that I've been here for high energy baseball experiences. The Savannah Bananas last Sunday, and now Sox Rays on a Thursday night. I'm feeling like you can't have much better energy. You can't be more excitable heading towards the All-Star break than Sox fans are now. And I understand most of this, yes, Ted Johnson, who can once again come in and rain all over our Red Sox parade at 3:00. But you can't be riding a better surge of goodwill, optimism, and emotion that the Red Sox have been, you know, winners of 7 in a row, 9 of their last 10. They're 9-1. Hot on a $2 pistol, kid, and they're climbing their way up the wild card rankings, up the AL East, and back into the relevant dialogue, the space that they should occupy at this point in the summer.
And I feel like the same reason why you're feeling that kind of hope and optimism is also the same reason why you were getting such vitriol in weeks past.
Right.
There were such high expectations for this year. We had people saying they were going to, 92 wins was one thing. We had people saying, oh yeah, Red Sox and Rangers in the ALCS this year. With zero games of Crochet as a Red Sox, zero games of Bregman, all that crap. And so when it started to seem like it was falling apart or very much teetering on the edge, you had people giving up earlier than they did in 24, which is earlier than they did in 23, so on. So therefore, now that you're finally seeing it click, Roman Anthony's here and he's incredible. And he's gotten, the reason he's my winner, by the way, is he's been so good that he's gotten past Breslow Bott. His numbers have been so good that he no longer gets sad against lefties. He plays every single day, and it's everybody else's problem who ends up filling in the rest of the outfield. That's a winner for me. He's here. Bregman's back. Crochet's great. You have three starters who are dealing right now, and more on the way that should fill it out. So the optimism was there. The same optimism that we had in February, Fitzy, is probably what you saw manifested last night.
Yeah, because the team that we thought was going to go 92-70 was going to be led by St. Bregman at third, Rafael Devers at DH, Rafael Devers, and all he was told to do was hit, and he threw away his glove, and of course with it came his terrible attitude, but that's okay. As long as he mashed, everything would be fine. And Tristan Casas, Craig Breslow said, could have been capable of 110, 120 RBI season, 25, 30 home runs.
Remember that.
And now it is a drastically different team.
Really is.
Than we anticipated.
Yeah.
You now have people like someone I'll get to in a moment, taking off and becoming a star in front of our eyes. The Roman Empire is being built in front of our eyes like a DIY home you can order from Amazon.com. Marcelo Meyer is fighting off any overtures by the organization to perhaps send him back down for a little more seasoning at AAA. Romy, my homie. You got Romy playing second base. Like, you've got these guys playing first and second and third and DHing and doing everything that Alex Cora wants them to do. Willy Abreu's doing a great job as well. Narvaez, perhaps the most pleasant surprise of the first half of the season. These Red Sox are becoming a very feel-good story. And we thought it was going to be not just a great story, Stiz, but a feel-good story. Because a month ago, we thought they were going to be the tragedy of the Boston sports scene in a complete waste of time as far as the MLB landscape.
Right.
And instead now, they're the talk of the town, and I think the talk of the league.
And this town is dying. Not even for a World Series. We've seen a couple of those. It'd be nice to have one.
Playoff
baseball at Fenway. Yes. Playoffs at Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. That is the barrier for entry felt so low for a successful season in 2025. And yet it still felt like in, I don't know, act two of this season, because our act one was excitement and then act two was 50 feet of crap and then us, to quote Moneyball. And now we're kind of in act three, and you hope that this is sustainable after the All-Star break, because the one thing that gives me worry, and this is where I kind of, where I don't side more with Ted, but I understand his pessimism. This is the exact same thing that happened last year.
Skeptically optimistic, as he likes to put it.
Absolutely. And properly, what was it? Efficiently loaded. What were we putting on our t-shirt?
Appropriately loaded.
Absolutely.
Appropriately loaded.
Yes. And proof of concept. Our sayings continue to
last
add up.
Last year it was full throttle. We are appropriately loaded.
That's right. So my winner of the week, that is a long way to say Roman Anthony with a sidecar to you for having two great nights at Fenway. But who is your winner of the week?
That's a hell of a winner of the week right there for you. This kid is now batting .263 on the season. He's got how many RBI? Wow, look at this. What a season. He's only got 2 home runs, 13 RBI, 26 hits on the young season, 16 runs scored. I'll tell you what, he's not Jaron Duran fast, but dude can scoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I was being extremely hyperbolic, therefore just being myself, earlier this week when we were talking to Will Fleming, and I said he looks like he could be a combination of Fred Lynn and Bryce Harper, just built for this, meant to be a ball player. Looks like he was carved out of the same wood that made the Savoy Special and Wonder Boy. Like, this kid belongs in baseball. And that's what the story of the season is becoming. The young guys are taking over in front of our eyes. Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and a huge pleasant surprise, in my eyes, the winner of the week, Sedan Rafaela, whose name, by the way, my computer would like me to try to spell correctly once.
Ah.
And I cannot. I always forget that there's two D's, two N's, and only one F and one L in his last name. I have spelled it so many different ways that autocorrect on my phone has just been like, I give up. That's fine. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's the close enough. I'll give you a B and we'll move on.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. This guy has just come, I won't say from out of nowhere, but we weren't sure earlier in the season where he was ultimately going to play. Would he be in center field? Would they possibly kick him into second base? Could he just become, given his incredible physical abilities, the super sub on the team? It turns out this is a team full of super subs. The Romys, the Toros, and more. Sedan Rafaela has now not only played, and let me tell you, when you're there at the ballpark and you watch a ball get hit deep into the left center alley or get hit deep to right field by the bullpen, where obviously if it kicks around, it could be trouble, possibly leading to an inside the park. The way he glides effortlessly to the ball. He is such a natural born center fielder. I think you are looking at your center fielder, not of the present and the future, for years to come. He's just such a great fielder. And at the plate, he's mashing right now. Home runs in 3 straight games, therefore 3 of his last 5 games. 2 RBI last night on the double that put the Sox ahead. So he had the GW RBI. Everything has come together for him at the right time. And so now, when you add him to Meyer to Anthony, you legitimately have a trio. This is your trio that you weren't expecting. This is the youth movement on this team. Can't believe that Jaron Duran, all of 28 years old, is like the veteran young guy looking in from the out. And we'll get to what's going to go on with him later on in the show. But Rafaela is just, he is an absolute bottle rocket right now. And one of the players that not only has been leading the charge for the resurgent Red Sox, 9-1 in their last 10, But also to me, the winner of the week, this kid belongs.
No question he does. And the Red Sox gave him a pretty impressive vote of confidence at the beginning of the year. You're moving an MVP candidate, a top 10 player in baseball, out of center field in order to play Seydon Rafaela every single day.
Duran say that's okay, I don't mind just watching my
absolutely guy he did
catch everything under the sun,
which I feel like to us at the time just felt like, all right, he's being a good leader, he's being a good kind of face of the franchise, but there's no way it's actually going to come to fruition. He is the best statistical outfielder in baseball in terms of outs above average. And I think we knew that that was part of his game. We knew he had that Jackie Bradley-esque range and ability to kind of cover the vast outfield. The question was, would he ever mature enough in his at-bats not to swing at the first two pitches regardless of where they were and automatically be down two strikes? The change,
play discipline has been a huge, huge...
The change in approach, I feel like, Fitzy, to your point, has unlocked what we are now seeing from this kid. He is unbelievable. As your nine-hitter, to flip the lineup around, I love that.
A nine-hitter who, by the way, right now leads the Red Sox with a 3.8 WAR. That is like Mookie Betts level good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say that the Red Sox have stumbled into their Mookie Betts replacement, because there is no such thing as replacing one of potentially the greatest players in your franchise's history who now patrols every position that the Dodgers and Dave Roberts ask him to. But that said, the numbers on the year, guys, 300 at-bats, 82 hits, 12 home runs. He's batting .270. He scored 53 runs on the season, 12 stolen bags, an OPS near 800. And like you said, peerless in center field right now. Did you just also drop what was that? Outs above average?
Yes. Little outs above average. It's better than my ex-WOBA that I brought up a couple weeks ago.
Ex-WOBA. And what's your favorite of all Dan Ball's nerd stats, Steve? ex-WOBA? I mean, doesn't it feel like half the time he's just making this jazz up?
It's possible.
My favorite is not BABIP, but it's Andy's version of BABIP, which is BISPA. That would be my favorite
of BABIP.
Batting
Isn't
average.
Isn't that like the Korean steak noodle dish?
No, I like that better than batting average on balls.
Bibimbap?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, set on Rafael's bibimbap.
The blue plorp is just off the charts.
I know. All of these. What was, you know, like, it makes you kind of almost want to harken back to the days of old. Like, how did people quantify baseball before there was ex-WOBA, BISPA, bibimbap, WAR, and everything else? Like, what did you, like, you literally, like, on-base percentage was barely even considered. Obviously, OPS was, I feel like OPS was the tipping point. Whenever OPS became the big thing around the time of Moneyball, then we went nerd central, and now I feel like there's, you know, no point of return. We're not going to have, like, there'll be no EMP that resets the standard of how stats are kept in baseball.
As much as there should be, because we've definitely gone too far. And I know I'm the mouthpiece on this show for having gone too far in stats. Right. So I'm kind of eliminating my own usefulness on this show by saying that. But I think that was such an element of frustration with Red Sox fans and baseball fans is I don't think they're actually watching these games when they're putting this roster together, putting the lineup together, or making in-game decisions. They're just having a computer spit out BISPA and BIPBORP and whatever we're talking about, and that's how we make our decisions. It 1,000% has gone too far, but that is kind of fascinating. It helps make an argument. Like, the more obscure stat you go to, the better it is to make whatever argument you're trying to make.
And it's kind of funny because you're like, as somebody who like lives and dies by these stats but has told us that we've gone too far and there's no point of return, you're like the scientist saying like, oh, AI will completely undo all of us. Here, now allow me to show you its functionality and why it's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it useful to at least be, you know, somewhat fluent in it, but I'm not somebody who's making decisions on behalf of a multi-billion-dollar organization and what happens on the field or off the field there. So I could spout it, but I'm not the one that's actually telling you that Seydon Rafaela should play or not.
No, you are quickly just turning into the Seydon Rafaela of our radio show and this radio station
Ron Burgundy. Oh, that was a compliment in there. So I'm used to Andy wrapping a compliment in an insult, so I'm still getting used to just a compliment as it's stated to me.
Yes, he is the Seydon Rafaela of wrapping compliments and insults as well. So there you go. There are winners of the week. Roman Anthony for Dan Ball. Seydon Rafaela, however you want to spell it. He is one Rafaela of a ball player. 617-779-7937 if you'd like to. If I get one Price is Right losing horn before we get to our first trend, I've done my job.
It's going
to
be a good day.
It's going to be a very good day. Ooh-wah, ooh-wah, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. All right, 617-779-7937. There's your telephone number. Oh, and by the way, we can all agree that the loser of the week was Will Clark.
God, that guy sucks.
Our overtures to him have continued to go unanswered. Will Clark, why do you back down from the challenge? Why will you not entertain us? Why
will the
not?
Thrill, like Will the Pill.
We've DM'd, him. We've tweeted, we've done everything we can.
Well deserved and well earned.
So come on. Yeah, the invitation is open. Slide on in, Will Clark. We will have you anytime. 617-779-7937. When we come back, we'll actually talk a little bit more about last night's thrilling Red Sox come from behind victory. And while it is a dub like the previous six, when they took it to seven last night, it felt different. And I think you, Red Sox Nation, should take confidence in that. But first, let's catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of sports with Dan Ball.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox have won seven games in a row. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 at Fenway last night. Chris Murphy with the win in relief, and Aroldis Chapman with his 16th save. Game two of that series is tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Hunter Dobbins returns to the big leagues to start this evening. He'll face Drew Rasmussen on the mound. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with myself, Dan Ball, is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. And from last night, the Red Sox have reportedly optioned infielder David Hamilton and reliever Isaiah Campbell down to AAA Worcester, making room on the roster for Dobbins and third baseman Alex Bregman. We call him Saint, but his real name is Alex. The Celtics Summer League slate begins today with a game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Tip off is at 4, and the game will be televised on NBA TV. The Revolution visit Austin FC on Saturday night. Kickoff is at 8:30, and the field has been set for the 2025 Home Run Derby in Atlanta. The eight contestants are Ronald Acuna of the Braves, Byron Buxton of the Twins, Junior Caminero of the Rays, Jazz Chisholm of the Yankees, O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates, Cal Raleigh, Big Dumper of the Mariners, Brent Rooker of the Athletics, and finally, James Wood of the Washington Nationals. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right now.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After this.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
He throws, and a fastball, swung on and missed! He got him! Ball game over, the Red Sox have won seven straight. A stirring come-from-behind win tonight. They take game one from the Tampa Bay Rays, and it was the kids that delivered tonight.
Seven!
That's right. It was the kids that delivered last night. If you listen to the start of our show today, Dan Ball, the ball game, Ball Hawk, and your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio on WEEI Afternoons. We went over our winners of the week, but completely, and both of our winners of the week for Boston sports were members of the young core, the young guys, the younger players, the youth movement that is getting it done. Dan chose the Roman Empire, Roman Anthony, and I went with, never spell his name the right way, but he's one Rafael of a guy, Sedan Rafaela. Don't play the losing horn, Stiz. I'll earn them again later in the show, don't worry. And that was highlighted right there from Will Fleming in our broadcast on the Red Sox Radio Network. 4-3, your final score last night as the Red Sox take game one of this pivotal four-game series leading into the 2025 All-Star break. And if you're just looking for a game that, well, is not an all-time classic, but takes you on that ride that you want, the experience, nice night at the ballpark, wasn't too hot, never really rained on everyone. There was a light mist in the air, but nobody was under the helter swelter of a dog day evening at Fenway Park. Packed house. You know, this is a big game because you're not just playing someone in the AL, but you're playing an AL East rival, someone you are chasing and nipping at the heels of as well. Now you find yourself just a half game behind them as you look to try to make your way up solidifying a wild card spot, possibly even chasing. Hello, everybody, for the Ford Clubhouse Studio. Chasing a you know, the top of the AL East as well. This is a huge game. This is a huge series as well. And considering that the Sox had won their previous 6 and 8 of 9 against inferior opponents or teams with losing records, you needed to show up and you needed to show that you could, you belonged last night. And you also wanted to see things like the youth movement on display. You wanted a quality start from Walker Buehler, which is exactly what, yes, it did come with two very long home runs.
Ooh, man. You mean a cutter middle-middle is not the pitch that you should be throwing? Holy.
Yeah. He only had two strikeouts, but, you know, didn't get knocked all over the ballpark otherwise. He did, there were the two home runs. But the very definition of a quality start is 6 innings and 3 runs or less. So he had a quality start last night. Yes, that was a 4.5 ERA of a start. Considering his ERA was 6.5 heading into the night as well, that was a massive improvement for him. Really big to keep the Sox in the game. And yes, they go down 3-1 into the seventh inning. And now you're thinking, well, the Bill's going to come due. They've just been racking it up. They were kicking the Rockies all around the ballpark. They were scoring 8, 9, 10 runs against the Rockies and the Reds and obviously the Nationals. So now they're not going to be able to come through because they're facing a higher quality opponent with a better pitching staff. Everyone knows the Rays have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, and Kevin Cash can be a hell of an algorithm to try to counter program in a baseball game.
No question.
And last night, I'll tell you straight up, Taj Bradley was dealing.
He was.
They. I mean, what was the stat of the night? Like, that's one of their first wins in forever where they only had 4 hits or fewer. Yeah. Well, first Boston win with 4 or fewer hits and 1 or no extra base hits since June 23rd of 2023 versus the White Sox. Wow, first at Fenway in 3 years. Thank you very much, Dan Ball, Stats and Research Department. Awesome. Like, the best thing that Kevin Cash could have done, my friend and I, my buddy that I was sitting with watching the game last night, when it came time for the bottom of the seventh, we both just sort of like, you got to bring Bradley out again, right? His pitch count isn't too high.
Got to at least let him start.
Yeah.
Right?
Let him get himself into trouble. Don't overthink this. He's got the Sox fooled. It's his best start in a month. He looks great. Let him at least go 7. But of course, you know, we all marveled at the idea that Brian Bayo threw his first complete game of the season and only the 13th complete
7!
Game. Only the
Jones and Keefe played that maybe 1,000 times today. Laughed every single time. They played it like 5 times during a trending.
Sure.
Loved it every single time.
Iconic.
I know.
That's how Castigs lives with us, right?
Yeah. Isn't it refreshing to see other teams making the mistakes and the head-scratching decisions and the Red Sox capitalizing on them?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest difference for me is instead of the Red Sox, and they'll still have them. That's what happened in that series against the Reds when you also should have swept, where you had a couple head-scratching, you know, Romy trying to stretch a double into a triple off the monster and, you know, and then you have a play like Nate Eaton forgetting that there was a runner 2 feet behind him at third base. There are still going to be their warts, but it's been more Red Sox are the beneficiary of a mistake or a decision that can go one way or another. I mean, you know, Bradley in his last handful of starts, 88, 88, 95, 87, 84, 77 pitches. He hasn't thrown over 100 pitches since June 1st.
And what was his pitch count last night?
88.
Okay.
So he was
that was on par.
Yeah, that seems to be where they're managing this kid. Okay. And he's 20, you know, he's 24. So I would imagine they're trying to kind of ramp him up into being a
stretch him out a little more though. I mean, like,
I would think so.
You could if he's at 88, why not at least let him get himself into or out of trouble in the seventh?
I would agree.
Let him see if he belongs to start to get in the triple digit pitch category. But instead, Kevin Cash sticks by the book and goes with the new arm they had just acquired from the Orioles, Brian Baker. And from the second he came in, the Red Sox were dialed in. You could see that it made all the difference in the world bringing this guy in because they rally for 3 in the inning. You got Meyer, you got Anthony, and of course, Rafaela with the double. The place just popped off.
Oh,
it was so huge because, and this is it, this wasn't the Red Sox being front runners like they were the past week and a half against the Reds, the Nationals, and the Rockies. This was, hey, wow, no, now you're playing a winning team. This is a winning team that's given you a hard time for the last 15 years or so, and they're in your ballpark, and you need to beat this team and beat this team several times to prove you belong, that you're on the way back, and that you're going to be in this AL East or at least this wild card race. And to come back and get all those runs in that inning and then turn it around and have my guy Whitlock,
mm-hmm.
everybody's guy Chapman come
all in. The way back. Dialed. Remember?
Look, dialed.
That's right.
That's right.
Capital D, capital I-A-L-E-D, dialed.
Whitlock was dialed last night. Looked fantastic. And, of course, he had to get the big out against Caminero as well to wrap the inning. Because you're thinking, if he gets a solo home run here again because he absolutely just moonballed one earlier against Walker Buehler, that's going to suck. And then all the amnesty they just built up by taking the lead back 4-3 in the seventh will be fittered away, right?
Sure.
And he gets him. And it was just huge. It was just, and there was a both a cheer and a sigh of relief, followed by Sweet Caroline. And then Chapman comes in and just locks it up. I know he gave up one hit, but boy, I got to tell you, the pop of a Chapman pitch on the glove of Narvaez is just violent. It is a visceral feeling. When that 99 or that 100 smacks the mitt, it just, it feels different. He feels as automatic as anyone that has closed the door for the Red Sox, maybe since Uehara.
I think that's probably it, because Kenley Jansen was not without his walks and hits.
Moments.
And Craig Kimbrell was very fun to watch. I was always a huge fan of him, but he walked the tightrope a lot.
Oh, you kept extra fingernails and nitro pills around for Kimbrell's.
And then you had the Mark Melansons, the Joel Hanrahans, the Andrew Baileys when he was...
Mark Melanson. I remember. Has there ever been anybody that couldn't do it here, but could do it better, could do it so well elsewhere, like Melanson? He stunk here,
yeah,
and was just nails for the Pirates.
He was if he stayed with Pittsburgh his entire career, he was an all time great closer,
Hall of Famer.
Then
Trevor,
he went somewhere
else. Hoffman-esque.
Absolutely. And then there was that one year. Remember when Alfredo Aceves was the closer for a year? That was those were some dark times in Red Sox baseball. I digress. I think it's a Koji, it's a Jonathan Papelbon, and it's a playoff Keith Foulke that you talk about, just in terms of it not even really putting up a fight. These guys aren't putting up a fight in some of these at-bats. The swings are what you and I would do.
Yep.
Where it's not really a baseball swing. It's kind of, if I could give a sound to it, it's kind of just a, eh. Like it's just kind of throw the bat at something, try to foul it off, and give yourself another life. And you were behind home plate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, sir.
So you saw what happens when he throws like that two-seam sinker, mm-hmm. where he's throwing it 100 and it moves. It takes a 90-degree turn left.
Yep.
What am I supposed to do with
no
that?
No chance.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance against it. I mean, he's really as hot as any closer I can remember for the Red Sox. Huge win, packed park with the light show at the end, obviously. Rafaela was just all smiles afterward,
yeah.
And said he enjoys winning very much. So maybe, listen, if on a Wednesday night he gets to take a day off and have some cookies so he can get powered up for a big come-from-behind double to knock in two on a Thursday, I'm all for it. How'd you feel about that one, Sox fans? Wasn't that a great one as they took it up to 7? 3 games to go until the All-Star break. Oh, and BT Dubs, Hunter Dobbins coming back. He's on the bump tonight. Good to have him. But most importantly, St. Bregman is in the house and playing for the home 9. 617-779-7937. When we come back, we'll talk about a team that is, they just won't let the Red Sox, won't stop being interested in one of the ball players. And fans last night let us know they don't want that ball player possibly being moved anytime soon because he's part of their core. We'll get back to talk about Jaren Duran here on WEEI Afternoons in just a moment.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Human interaction scares me.
Oh, Brezbot.
He did look so uncomfortable. He was on the other side of the street, you know, protected by the passing of traffic. And you can almost feel the stress of his motherboard.
Don't you people have homes? By the way, that was Red Sox fans chanting, "Keep Duran." That would be Jaren Duran, of course, who is a fan favorite of this ball club. has earned his place over the last several years. MVP candidate last year, struggled a bit to start this season, but actually last night was his first game in 10 games where he didn't have a hit, even though got on base last night. He seems to be rounding back into form a little bit, which is great to see. The Red Sox, if they are considering possibly dealing Jarren Duran, would love to see him obviously elevate his stock by getting back into form and getting hits in every single game.
Right.
He's starting to look more like himself now, if you will. I know that's a bit of a amorphous self at times, considering that he can do so much and has had some issues in the past as well. But I personally don't want to see the Red Sox deal him. I know they have a glut of outfielders. As the parking attendant that we were speaking to on the way into the stadium said, the fact that the Red Sox have four high-quality starting outfielders reminds him of the good old days when Lou Gorman said, when considering trading for Willie McGee, where are we going to play Willie McGee? And so now the Red Sox have four outfielders that are worthy of starting. Speaking of which, a quick update before we continue on the San Diego Padres' alleged and rumored interest in trading for and acquiring Jarren Duran. The lineup is out. So, Dan, could you quickly just run down tonight's lineup? I know people are very curious to hear it, considering there is the purported return of the Saint of the Hot Corner.
The Saint has descended upon the lineup this evening.
Hallelujah.
So it's Duran.
Lineup's out.
Here's the lineup, everybody. I play ball. The lineup's out. Good evening, everybody. Here's the lineup.
Is that what your Sweet Caroline sounded like after a
hands touching. Sweet Caroline. Lineup's out.
You might as well read it over my shoulder in that lineup over or in that voice while you're doing it.
Hey, everybody, the one.
Okay, I don't know what else to do.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm the only one here. All right.
Lineup's up.
Duran in left. Alex Bregman hitting second at third base this evening. So he's back in the spot where he hit during most of his career in Houston, in that number two spot. So tells you how much they were kowtowing to Rafael Devers that he was never allowed to hit there. Masataki Yoshida, your DH, hitting third. There's quite the lineup decision. Mm. Narvaez, your catcher. Willier in right. Trevor Story at short. Here's maybe the highlight, almost even more so than Alex Bregman. Maybe a tip of the cap towards what they're going to do, at least against righties. Marcelo Meyer, second base this evening.
Hey, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Toro at first. Rafaela in center. So
something's missing.
No Roman Anthony. Actually, none of the Roman Empire. No Roman, no Romy in the lineup this evening.
Wait a second. That's strange.
Yeah. I mean,
we were just told by Alex Cora that said superstar, the Roman Empire, was going to play every day.
Mm-hmm. Today, not one of them
days. A rest day?
It must be. I mean, you have to. So this brings it back to the Duran conversation of what do you do? Something's got to give. Because that's, you essentially now have 11 guys for your nine spots. You got to get Yoshida at bats. Clearly, he's able to hit the ball decently well still, because, you know, I'm sure he was super hurt. And then you have four outfielders for three spots. You essentially have five players for four spots, even six for four between the DH and your three outfield spots. So something's got to give, or somebody's got to pick up the big old mitt and play first base.
Yeah, that's too hot a stick. That's too good a player. That's too impactful. A component of the youth movement to me.
Yeah.
Especially when you're facing a righty. Tonight, the Red Sox, of course, facing Drew Rasmussen, 7-5, 2.8 ERA, 76 punchados on the season. I'd have every lefty I could under the sun that was available to me, whether they were 20 or 35 in the lineup when I have a righty like that. That's a curious. There's got to be a reason behind it. Maybe he's thinking tonight off, play Saturday and Sunday. They do, of course. Wow. Imagine that. They should play the Rays more often, because tomorrow you get Boz and Sunday you get Pepio?
Yeah. Yeah.
All righties.
Couple of righties.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's a good thing. So
I just hate that we have to wait. I wanted to see Bregman into Roman Anthony in the lineup so badly to have to wait. Maybe I'll have to look into the pitch arsenal. Anthony isn't great against changeups. Maybe Rasmussen has a dominant changeup or some off-speed that he doesn't see as well, but has really impacted him. The at-bats have been so mature. He's been seeing pitches well. These put-away pitches that a lot of guys that have a lot more service time than he do have been swinging at, he just doesn't chase. I would have loved to see that tonight.
I know. Well, soon enough, you'll get Duran into Bregman into the Empire.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see how that cleanup hitter thing works, but he's been doing pretty well.
Ooh, a right-handed bat? When could we possibly add one of those to the mix?
Soon. And let's just hope it doesn't come at the cost or expense of Duran as well, who, like we said, San Diego allegedly and or to rumors is very interested in. Side note to that, Dan, of all the different things that the Red Sox may need or want to acquire at the deadline, a 2/3 starter, though the starting pitching has been excellent of late.
Right.
A power bullpen arm, never can say no to that at any given time of the year or day that ends in Y. Or a power hitting right-handed first baseman type, that still continues to be. I would say that's the thing that I want most.
Okay.
Of the equation. I'm going to stick with that just barely over a starting pitcher as well. And I don't know if you're going to get that from San Diego, which is why I'll take the call. But I don't think I'm going to go much further with the dialogue. 617-779-7937. If you guys want to jump in, talk some socks with us as well, or perhaps offer your hottest take on one of the biggest stories in sports, like we will when Ted Johnson jumps in and joins us for the 3 o'clock hour and the 3-point stance coming up next.
Process overload, feelings can't compute.
The Red Sox Station. WEEI.
New England Sports Original.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.